This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Danny Meringue.
I found two empty bottles of a particularly decent Chateau Noir Bordeaux 57 in your rubbish.
Dusty Hera.
You went through my garbage?
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app.
I find it particularly offensive that you use them to wash down an order from something called Macho Taco.
And Portland's sports leader, 1080.
I would never drink a Bordeaux with a Macho Taco.
The Fan.
It was a burrito machissimo.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Wednesday afternoon. Thanks for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours, whether it's on 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, twitch.tv/1080AM, the fan, or youtube.com/1080AM, the fan. Party on, party people on the streaming services. All right, let's get this. Portland Trailblazers, they head to Oklahoma City, where the Blazers have not won in OKC in the regular season since February of 2021.
Yeah, and those games have been hellscapes.
Yeah.
Look at the scores in those games.
I think they've lost 13 or 14 in a row to OKC. I think it's 14.
Yeah, it's not good.
14 straight.
It was at one point in time a rivalry where Portland was actually dog walking them.
Yeah, Dame waving Paul George out of town.
Basically broke a franchise, and ever since then, it's gone against them.
Yeah, because they sure figured out a way to win.
Here's a weird quirk about tonight's game. You know, the Thunder are actually playing a game in less than 24 hours.
Oh, really?
They played the San Antonio Spurs last night in San Antonio.
Oh.
Again, the trip from San Antonio to OKC, maybe a two-hour flight? Maybe?
No idea. I'll take your word for that, though. Seems about right. I'll carry the one.
I don't even think it's that long to be honest. Yeah, it's an hour and a half. 125 nonstop.
Right.
So,
probably shorter on a charter too.
Yeah. So they're turn and burn after
more comfortable
after the game last night. They're also questionable. Isaiah Hartenstein may make his debut for the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight.
Broke his hand in the preseason.
This is actually kind of a good news thing for the Trailblazers in that the Thunder won't have to play small entirely the whole game, right? And the Thunder are this weird team.
If it works, they will.
Well, here's the thing. The Thunder are this weird team where, like, this whole idea of, like, going small is like, oh, God, it's not the Pelicans where you're like, oh, they're going small because they don't have a center to begin with, but they're also not built to do it. The Thunder have Lu Dort and Jalen Williams.
Torture Chamber. Still probably the best name in
It's a great
sports.
Nickname. And look, I walked out behind him when they came here 2 weeks ago. I'm not kidding. He's built like Ray Lewis. And if you've ever seen Ray Lewis out of pads and not in a suit, you see how thick he is from front to back. And NBA players aren't built like that. They're lean for a reason. Like you run up and down the floor, you lose weight. It's hard to keep it on when you're running 3.5 miles a night and these bursts. Like, it's just, he's different.
Mm-hmm.
He's He's bigger than Zion as far as like front to back. Yeah, he's a fridge.
I know how hard it is to keep weight on.
Right? Yeah. Yep. But he's enormous. And even though he's only 6'4", maybe 6'5", he's so strong. He is so unbelievably strong that they can get away with him at center because they've got Shea, who's 6'6", and J-Dub, who's 6'6", 6'7", and you just kind of go through their, like, their whole lineup. It's all very long, and they're all very strong. Alex Caruso's 6'4", maybe 6'5", strong as hell. Like, the Blazers are doing this as well. Smart teams are prioritizing guys that are big and strong. Like, that is a thing that they're doing.
And we got like 2 more months till Chet's back. He would really hurt that strength. That strength quota.
But that was the whole point of going.
When you say J-Dub, you're talking about a Jalen Williams. Which one?
J-Dub, not J-Will. J-Will is not active. He's the other big.
Okay.
Yeah. J-Will is the big, and he's like 6'8", but he's strong as hell too.
A lot of teams having two players with the same name.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. But J-Dub is a guy who, he looks skinny, but is strong as hell. Like, it's just, that is the kind of what they have done and what they have built. Like, the only one who's, like, skinny is Isaiah Joe. And even Cason Wallace is a little, you know, pocket-sized guard, but, again, tough as nails, strong as hell. Hmm. And they have prioritized just this swarming, just relentless defense that it was like, well, just go big and have Donovan down the paint. It's like, Donovan doesn't have a post game. You can't dump the ball into him on the block and be like, go score on guys because you're a foot taller. And even if he did, it's kind of playing into what OKC wants you to do because they're so disruptive and they're so athletic and they're so bursty. When they played last time, remember, they went small because Chet got in foul trouble and they forced it in too much to DA. And you've got Dort on the back end, like playing the back, and you've got Caruso fronting, and they're just like, go ahead. None of you know how to throw an entry pass, so we're going to go ahead and force you to do it.
Blazers have really worked on that the last 2 weeks.
I'll just tell you this right now. No one in the NBA that's under the age of 30 knows how to throw an entry pass. It's insane. It is I understand.
And the Blazers have checks the roster.
Yeah, Jeremy Grant. That's it.
One guy under over 30.
It is a lost art. I know we've gone the way of the dodo with like the straight post-ups, but number one, it's coming back. Like, look around the NBA.
Pendulum has swung.
It never should have gone away. The whole idea of the death lineup Warriors, like, oh yeah, no, small ball rules. Yeah, small ball rules when you have the two greatest shooters maybe in NBA history and the greatest scorer in NBA history on the same roster.
Don't let facts
get away. Small ball works. And you know what breaks small ball? Having a guy who's 7 foot. Yes, that part. Perfect. Having a guy at 7 foot tall, 280 pounds, like Joel Embiid, who and healthy, or Nikola Jokic, can just bludgeon you to death in the paint.
Yeah, Blazers 11.5 point dogs with no Chet Holmgren.
That feels about right, to be honest.
Yeah, 11.5 point dogs heading into this one.
I don't think DA is going to go. He was doubtful. Anthony Simons was questionable. I talked to Ant the other day. He was still fighting this.
It could be the good news on the horizon. Maybe he's back.
Yeah, I think it's with Ant. He's generally going to see if he can go. It's just a matter of like, can he breathe?
Yeah.
Like that's
I heard that's
of,
important.
Yeah, he was running out of breath within a few minutes. And Ant's the kind of guy who can play 40 plus minutes no problem. Like he's that's kind of what guys like him and CJ McCollum have done. They run endlessly and they can play 40 minutes. They've got that kind of cardio. So, but yeah, here's the thing. They're probably going to get punched in the mouth because OKC is really good. But if you're hoping for a Blazers win, it would be their first 4-game winning streak since 2022.
Oh. Well, hey, look at that. I do have updated numbers for everybody out there.
No, hit me.
I have updated win totals in the National Basketball Association. Because this 3-game win streak has freaked people out, right?
Yeah.
People are very worried about what this 3-game win streak means. The updated win totals for the NBA.
Let me guess for Portland. 23.5.
I was going to go with 28.
Yeah, it's 23.5, but they are, that is up to.
God, I hate you.
Well, that is up to, they still are, they're now tied with the Utah Jazz, the Brooklyn Nets, for the second lowest win total in the NBA this year. The only team that is lower right now is the Washington Wizards at 20.5 wins.
Okay, again, the expected win loss which is a pretty good projector of what will happen during a season over 82 games, because everybody gets so wrapped up in the individual events of one game. And again, this is the dumb math nerd, okay? The expected win losses based on Portland's performances right now, even with this three-game win streak, is 23 wins.
Yeah.
They are still tied for the 10th worst record in the league.
Yeah, but, I mean, and this again, is what Vegas is saying. They are expected to win two more games, because they have won two more than expected to this point. They're expected to win two more games than what they thought at the very beginning of the season. And it is tied for the second worst.
Yes.
Only to the Washington Wizards, which are unequivocally bad. And oh, by the way, that does include teams like, but not limited to, the three-win Toronto Raptors, mm-hmm. which have a higher expected win total for the rest of the year. Toronto right now, with three wins on the season, they have an over-under win total of 27.5. It is a lower win total than the New Orleans Pelicans, which are 4-11 right now, and it's the exact same as the 3-11 Utah Jazz. Okay, and the 6-9 Brooklyn Nets.
Okay, and here's what I want everybody to understand. Yes, they're one game away from 500 right now at 6-8, being 7-7. Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They're also two games away from being 4-10.
All right. Well, that's people want.
I would feel better about that.
But that's the thing. It doesn't matter. Over 82 games.
Yeah.
It does not matter what it looks like over three. It's what it matters over 82.
I get it. But two more wins right now than what we thought they would have been.
Sure. Yes, you have two more wins.
It does feel like it matters.
It doesn't. It doesn't matter a skosh, because you've got a Pelicans team that is missing seven of their top seven players.
Yeah. Here, just look at think of it in these terms, right? Philly. Are they going to be this bad all year?
No.
They will not be. I mean, they've played largely this entire... With their three best players,
they've
never
not played,
played a
together.
Game. You have New Orleans, which
they
you
just might actually
there.
Be screwed, though, because they are missing so many people.
But the East has to play each other,
yes.
too. And that is a massive, massive point. So don't look at it right now where the Blazers are 10th in the NBA right now. Look at it as, well... You've got to play, the East has got to play the East.
Yes.
And there will be natural, and let's be quite frank here, unnatural tanking that the Blazers will undergo at some point this season. Okay?
Fair enough.
Everything is going to be okay.
They right now.
And now, if they go and win at the end of the year, I will rip them properly.
Yes.
Well, and that's one thing that I can probably disagree with as a lifelong Blazer fan is I don't know that everything is going to be okay.
You know what, Jeff? I appreciate that. And that's okay. Hey, this is a safe space. This is a safe space. What have the Blazers given you to make you feel like you should be comfortable with them tanking in a season that they should tank?
Yeah. It's not feeling good yet.
No.
It hasn't for a while.
Yeah. But don't panic yet. Just embrace the fact that, look, They won three games in a row.
Yeah, and that comes up at the same time that I needed to do a refill on my anxiety meds. That's not great timing.
All right. Well, they currently have the third worst point differential in the Western Conference.
Yes.
And they have the, fourth, fifth, sixth worst point differential in the entire NBA. The entire NBA.
Mm-hmm.
We'll figure it out.
And they have more wins than all those other teams, which is kind of like everyone's like, well, they have that 145 point loss.
I know, that's not a good thing.
But that's my point. By winning, by virtue of winning, that means their point differential is positive.
A 500 team the last 10, huh?
You guys are not helping.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Here with me.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
I love you both. Not helping.
It's not something to worry about at this point. It's genuinely not. And that's the thing. Is like you look at where they're at.
Vegas still thinks they suck.
Yeah. Look, they're not doing this to entice. Look, the reason that line is up to 23.5 is because they're like, hey, there's some dumb fans in Portland that think this is actually real. Let's go ahead and steal their money. That's why they're doing this.
And they're still 11.5 point favorites tonight when the opposing team's second best player is not available.
And they currently don't have a center active on the roster.
Yeah, dude.
That should tell you everything you need to know. Look,
I hate, you're just telling me to bet the Blazers.
I hate.
You're telling me to bet the Blazers.
I just hate rehashing this. But let's go with the.
We don't need to rehash it.
I want to hit this real quick because I am inundated with it for the last week. The Minnesota Timberwolves shot 7 of 42 from three.
It's my fault.
No, it's not your fault. It's not you. I get it online all day, and I get it in my comments, and I get it. It's insane.
Dang, you're the people that he argues with on the dumper.
I am the dumper voice.
Minnesota Timberwolves.
Am I the station's big dumper?
Yeah. The Minnesota Timberwolves shot 7 of 42 from three.
Yeah.
They were disinterested in the game. Absolutely atrocious. Yeah. Just god awful level basketball. The Blazers also have their best shooting night of the season so far, and the single best shooting night as a percentage from three in the NBA. Yep. The next night, you follow that up with a disinterested team that can't hit the broadside of a barn. Donovan Klingon has an unbelievable 17-12-8 rookie performance, one of nine players to ever do it. So you've got two out-of-this-world performances already going in your favor. And then you have backed that up with Shaedon Sharpe's back-to-back best games.
Yeah. All right.
And you had an Atlanta team that turned the ball over 25 times, and you won by a single possession.
Well, why is it I feel like that wasn't the first time somebody on the show said Shaedon Sharpe? Did I do it once?
I don't know.
It was close, I think. Something like that.
I don't know.
But I'm saying, all you're seeing is shotgun outliers everywhere.
Well,
that's not how it goes over 82 games.
Until you're a Blazer fan,
yeah.
And it crushes your dreams and your hopes, all right?
Vancouver Fort text line. You have to know the Blazers are going to go full Blazers and win this game tonight, right?
By 30.
Yeah.
Be like, we ended the streak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, is that... Okay. Will Blazer fans hate Chauncey Billups if he wins too many games?
Yes.
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 After it'll be the same people. It will be the exact same people that were crucifying him for being the worst coach and doesn't develop any talent. Mm-hmm. I texted him the other morning
on my way listening to Dirt and Sprague after the third straight win. I was like, they will he get fired for winning too much?
No, that won't happen.
I know it won't.
But
the Blazer fans will
because they don't want to pay him to go away.
But they've already fired him three times. So, all right.
But also, quick question: at what point are we outside of the small sample theater part of things?
With regards to what?
Overall, the season.
You really can't get anything until about 30 games.
Well, hold on.
We're 14 games in, that's 17% of the season.
Well, I know. But you're saying that, but what he's saying is that what has happened over the last three wins are three drastically different ways of winning.
Fair.
There's no consistency. Yeah.
Like the Blazers theme is being consistently inconsistent.
Yeah.
This year.
Look, Donovan
Klingon won three games. Yeah, Donovan
Klingon had 17-12-8.
Yeah,
17-12-8 against the Minnesota Timberwolves. And you know what I didn't hear on Sunday against the Atlanta Hawks? Man, Donovan Klingon was really good because he got played off the floor.
Yeah.
He was a minus 20 in his minutes out there. And that's what's going to happen because he's a kid. But like that's my point in that. Yeah, you can't count on those things. In over 82 games, if you don't have things you can count on night in, night out, you're going to lose a lot.
Okay. All right. Wow. That was a whole thing with a guy and a person and everything.
And a shark.
Shaedon.
Yep.
All right. Four states have gone down a road that it has people keeping an eye out. This sounds eerily familiar to what states individually did before. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Very similar to when NIL became a thing in college sports, right? When the NCAA was like, oh boy, we can't really legislate this. And then each individual state just started coming over the top with their own state-by-state NIL rules. We now have four states in this fine union that have passed legislation to allow universities to directly pay NIL. Ohio did it yesterday. They joined Georgia, Virginia, and Illinois. And they're just basically saying, we're not going to wait for the House settlement to be finalized. They cut the teeth of the NCAA and said, nope, we're going to give our schools the upper hand.
You don't matter.
We are going to allow them to go ahead and pay athletes directly. This is on the heels of Ross Dellinger had a report last week on the early signing day where schools were already doing this. They were writing scholarship offers to kids saying, yeah, we will have in-house NIL that we will be able to pay you for. And now it is to the point where here comes every other state, and this is going to be the wild, wild west all over again.
I don't want to see federal legislation. I don't want to see the government involved with this because everything they touch turns to crap. But somebody's got to do something.
This goes back to Tommy Tuberville.
He's not right, but he's not wrong either.
Well, the big thing about...
He's just mad about how it affects his states and his football programs.
Well, that's what's happening across most of these states.
But the ridiculous thing about Tommy Tuberville is that one of his gripes is that these guys enter these contracts and they just leave. Oh, really? Just like the profession that you came from, coaching?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, exactly.
Just like that? When you go and you leave for a better job?
Exactly. Who 2 days after he said he was going to be somewhere, left and went and took a different job.
And that's the ridiculous part about it. But
the hypocrisy of coaches know no bounds.
This
is not just a Tuberville thing.
I think that everybody, and I don't blame states for doing this. The state of Oregon needs to get on board with it. The state of Washington needs to get on board with it.
Yep.
Pass your own legislation and say, go ahead and do it. But it will be in the best interest of every university that breaks off from the NCAA for football and basketball to say, we need a blanket set of rules that we all play under.
Yes. And this is, again, for the 80 bajillionth time, when we circle back around and we eventually do the Super League.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, that's it. It's a very, very simple thing of getting around to getting, whether it's 60, 80 teams into the same league, everybody operating with the same rules, the House ruling as far as like the $20 million a year and then how that's going to grow and how you're going to pay players out and what NIL looks like, that you're either you're in or you're out. That's it.
Yeah. And you either going to play the game or you're not going to be about that life. And we shall see who ends up wanting to play ball. And a lot of them won't, because a lot of them can't. But Ohio joins Virginia, Illinois, and Georgia as states that are not waiting for the House settlement to be finalized in April by a judge in a court where they're going to say, look, these are the parameters of which universities can pay employees. This is where like the $20 million cap will come from that will escalate over a year that schools will be able to dole out. Now states are just preemptively saying, we're going to get behind the eight ball if we don't go and do something now. So we're going to go ahead and push this legislation through because signing day for football is right around the corner.
And then
all the other sports just had it.
It's all very dumb because you're making legislation that's probably going to be irrelevant in the next couple of years.
Yeah, that is 100% how politicians operate, I think. Mm. Right? And then they go and they make a new rule.
Let's go patchwork
that convolutes the other rule, but has something written in the back end of it that doesn't pertain to anything about the law that they're trying to pass or the legislation they're trying to pass, but it'll affect some other realm. Like that, that is how That's how all of this works. And money will go somewhere and change hands. And all of a sudden we look around and we go, how do we not pay for schools? How are roads all broken?
Mm-hmm.
But we're all paying taxes.
Yeah. How do we lose $200 billion?
Yeah. So the NCAA and our government, they pretty similar.
Yeah.
Pretty similar in that regard.
Mm.
All right. I thought that was an interesting little footnote.
No, it is.
For the NIL to the direction that we're going.
Mm-hmm.
It's the states are now saying individually schools can pay.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. Yep. This is the natural evolution of how stupid this is all getting. Coming up next, have you ever had a traumatic experience and then thought, I wonder what that would be like if it had a soundtrack over the top of it?
No.
No? Oh, that's interesting. Because one cruise line thought that would be a good idea to go about it because there was a terrifying storm and they decided to play the Titanic.
No!
We'll get to that and more on our worst day on the web. But first, here's the Big Kahuna with a Sports Center update.
Are we sure it wasn't the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald?
Hamburgers, the cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
As I mentioned before we went to break, imagine having a traumatic experience thrown to some live music.
Oh, boy.
That's what happened, or at least a cruise passenger claims has happened, on a ship that faced a terrifying storm at sea that saw a giant ship named the Explorer tilt more than 14 degrees to one side, like to the point of like furniture was sliding, glass was breaking, like all hell is breaking.
Yeah, loose. The cruises sound awesome.
My wife has tried to get me to do the whole cruise thing. She wants to be, she's like, I want to see if we like it. And then like, if we'd like it, we become like one of those cruise families that like you do the Caribbean cruise or you do the Icelandic Nordic cruises. Or I'm just like, let's just go to those places.
Yeah. Because you stop and then you go. And then
they
I've heard the
they dictate too much.
I heard the Alaska cruises are fun, but yeah, no, I'm not.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No. I'm just, God, imagine this playing.
So they put this song on as all of this is going down on a cruise ship?
Worse.
What?
So much worse.
What do you mean? How is it worse?
The band started playing it.
No. The band with nobody, like, we're not reading the room here.
And then,
we're not going to just read the room a little bit here. No. We're going to take a lay of the land.
They eventually stopped because it got too bad.
Oh, but my gosh.
The song was also playing in the theater and a couple other places on the ship.
Sweet.
To the point of, like, some people thought, like, oh, this was, like,
somebody. This is what you do?
Well, no. Like people thought that maybe, like, it was being orchestrated. Like, it wasn't actually a storm.
Oh, so the...
Like, have you ever been on a cruise ship? If you're not looking out, you can't see.
Maybe the captain is having a little too many drinks, and he's just like, let's screw with these people. YOLO!
Well, maybe they could have at least gone with the Me First and the Gimme Gimme's version, and then maybe not everybody would have recognized it.
Don't know that version of
that
song.
Oh, it's a good one. It slaps.
So,
oh,
I'm showing
goodness.
Dusty the video now. Like,
that's just crazy.
How, like... People are, like, walking at an angle.
Yeah, it's like you're in one of those gravitrons, you know, at the county fair. The
it
thing
sucks you up to the wall. Yeah.
Whoa.
I remember the gravitron. I hurt my ankle on that one time. Ripped the skin off the back of my heel.
Well, you're the reason why nobody else can have fun on it then, Jeff.
Yeah, so apparently, again, the ship, it's a 15-deck ship with 4,300 passengers.
You said deck, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is...
Going from Barcelona...
Oh, yeah.
To Miami. That's a long cruise.
And where? How far into this were they? Like, were they on...
They made it to Miami.
No, were they, like, in open water this time? Like, are you halfway in between to where you're, you know, deucing your drawers the other half of the trip going, I don't want to do this again? That'd be terrifying. At least there was no icebergs to worry about.
They diverted to Las Palmas because there was an injured passenger, and then they docked in Miami just, what, 2 days ago? 3 days ago, on the 17th. They had a several-day delay due to storm-related damage.
Yikes.
The final line of the article, no fatalities occurred.
Oh, hey, good. 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 This is the other version.
This is a good one. This is the great one.
Is that what this is?
That's what this is. They turned it into a polka.
I've never heard polka in good.
Yeah, I like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
Slaps.
Look, if I ever have Death like by this. Firing Squad, just have them fire to this.
Really?
Yeah, that way my brain gets blown twice.
Why, they're not screaming loud enough for you?
It's just...
You know,
oh,
like
come
joy
on. Don't
and
tell
happiness.
Me this doesn't get you going.
This, oh, it gets me going, all right. It yeah. makes my eyebrow twitch.
Really? You hate that? Oh. I mean, this is not the best song I've ever heard.
Like this,
but I didn't say that.
This is like making my blood boil.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, I hate this.
With the stuff you listen
yeah,
to?
Oh yeah, I hate this.
And this bothers you? Uh-huh. What is uh-huh. what bothers you about it?
I don't know, but I don't like it. Like,
sorry. Yeah. Honestly, truthfully, I
yeah. Now well, you know how it feels when you do that stupid Hannibal Lecter thing.
I have a bias. I do greatly enjoy the Me First and the Gimme Gimmes.
Oh.
You know? What are you going to do?
Good Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, that one.
Yeah, this is just like...
Yeah.
You know when you're waiting for a movie that really sucks to end? That's what this is like. Like, is this over yet?
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, that was me in the Jetsons movie when I was like in high school. It's the only movie I've ever walked out of in a theater.
Really?
The Jetsons movie.
Why were you at the Jetsons movie as like a high schooler?
Because it was the Jetsons. Everybody loves Hanna-Barbera. Well, everybody loves Hanna-Barbera.
Dusty, that
his
was like
boy
1986.
Elroy, Jane, his wife.
All right.
I was like 92, 93.
God, I hate you.
Right? 92, 93-ish.
What else were you going to do back then, Dusty?
Let's check and see the Jetsons movie.
Did you drive out of it? Were you at the drive-in?
Drive-through?
Neckin'?
Oh, hell. All right. So, no, I wasn't even in high school yet.
Okay.
1990. So, there that was go. Middle school.
Oh, all right.
Or, I guess
that makes more sense.
Back then, for me, junior high.
Mm. Wait.
Because we didn't do middle school at that point.
So, Jeff Rust, you were an old curmudgeon back in junior high. You're like, nah, I'm out.
Yeah, no, I was like, this is awful. Yeah. You guys have screwed up the Jetsons.
Mm.
I don't remember that.
I remember it. That Paul Abdul did the soundtrack to it, I believe.
That God, I don't remember.
I miss the old soundtracks. Again, coming
really?
Full circle.
Yeah.
So,
if you were having
all.
A straight traumatic up, experience, would you want music?
If what?
If you were having a traumatic experience, would you want music?
No. Why? It's just something to remember it by forever?
To be triggered for the rest of your life?
Yeah. I just don't think, I don't care that they, like the whole idea that they would play it on a cruise ship, period. That just seems like a song that you don't put on a cruise ship.
Right, it's like yelling bomb on an airplane.
Uh-huh.
Same, or fire same. In a theater.
Yeah, it feels like it's all in the same realm.
It's
right?
like having the movie Fahrenheit 9/11 on your seat back as you're on an airplane. You're like, why? Why are we doing this?
What's the God? What's the Harrison Ford hijacking one?
Air Force One.
Yeah, Air Force One.
Yeah. At least that was the president.
Well, I mean, you're in flight movies now. Air Force One. Like,
yeah.
By the way,
yeah.
I don't,
or like We Are Marshall or something like that.
Oh God,
like, no!
You went super dark.
Well, no, you shouldn't have it. Like, it's like that's anxiety inducing.
Alive.
Yes. Shouldn't do it.
Let's watch a soccer movie on the plane.
Oh man.
By the way, I don't think I see Paula Abdul on this Jetsons movie soundtrack.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Well, I'll be damned. I thought she did the I thought Judy Jetson did a dance to a Paula Abdul song on there.
You could have just had Paula Abdul burned in your head because at that age she was a complete and utter smoke show and
yeah, she was.
By the way, the Me First and the Gimme Gimmes also did a cover of Straight Up, which also slaps.
All right, I'll take your word for that.
Yeah.
My eyebrow prematurely just twitched.
Huh? Yeah, it sounds like you just don't like Me First and the Gimme Gimmes.
Dude, you should go check them out at a show. They are fantastic.
I hear accordion or polka, and I'm gone.
Well, they don't typically do that. They make things into like their punk covers, but yeah, that one was kind of polka.
Like I never did the ska thing. Never was.
Yeah, you were more into like Five Finger Death Punch.
Indeed.
Yeah.
More my jam.
Yeah.
Metallica. Right. You know.
Yeah.
You Slayer, know. Raining Blood.
Yeah. Yeah. That's.
Come on now.
That's the kind of music that is upbeat and uplifting to you.
Yeah, look, I mean, if you're talking about the soundtrack to my life, you know, we may or may not have had some Slayer playing while in firefights. Like, so.
Well, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
But, like, you also do it driving to work.
You're not wrong.
I think those are two vastly different places.
If you see me driving down the road, there's like a 98% chance that the... Do you guys, either of you listen to the music up loud anymore?
Yeah. All the time.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because my wife always gives me hell. She's like, she won't, like, the volume knob in the car will go up to 30, and I have it up to 30.
Like, normally?
Yeah.
I would say mine is not consistent or normal.
Mine is, if I'm listening to music, I 85, 90% of the time, it's all the way up.
Well, knowing the genre of music you listen to, that is not surprising.
Yeah. Right? I'll give my wife crap for how loud she listens to her music, but... You know,
it's because it sucks,
my yacht
right?
rock and stuff is different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My wife will not, like, if the volume goes above like 12.
Yeah, my wife's that same way.
When she's in the car, it's so loud, it hurts my head.
There are so many times I get in the 4Runner and I turn it on and it just blasts my head off after my wife is in there. And yeah, there is a couple of curse words.
Yep. Well, you always turn it down before you get out of the car.
She doesn't.
You should.
Yeah, no, even, you know, I'm even a lunatic, and I do. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
That way you don't get in and go, ah!
Yeah.
That's what happens to
your
me.
Your music
I get
will
in
do
and
that
go, ah!
To anybody, even at a low volume, Danny.
Well, I mean, yeah. Get you going. It's provocative.
And it's even just like the 80s station on Sirius XM.
So, there you go.
I'm still like, ah!
So you go. Having a soundtrack to the most traumatic experiences. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
It's fun.
Don't do it.
It's fun.
But you do. Yeah. You do, though.
Yeah, I do.
You were just, and you still listen to it.
Oh, God, yes.
Which is very weird.
I mean, what's weirder? That it would be playing it in a situation like that?
I think that you like that kind of music.
Or that we would listen to it before we would go out on a mission. Because we treated it like the same way we did like pre-game.
No, that makes listening to it before and during, mm-hmm. I think that all makes sense.
Right.
Yeah, but you still enjoying it after. That's the odd part.
I still remember viscerally the Green Bird, which is what the delivery plane that comes like once a month and brings our supplies and rations like for our like makeshift BX and Shopette on base.
Mm-hmm.
They came out there on my first deployment to Afghanistan, and Headbangers Ball Volume 2 had just come out. If you don't remember MTV2, Headbangers Ball.
Yeah.
That album came out, and I still have that mix on Spotify.
On Spotify?
Yeah.
You still got
because
it.
Because I have like a direct line to that moment in my life.
That's funny.
It's, again, putting music to your traumatic moments in your life. It's
and then reliving it daily.
Yeah, daily, on a daily basis.
Awesome.
I mean, you can maybe jump off from there to this. A traumatic experience may have defined the career of one Ray Lewis, but he might be taking over as a head coach in college football? We'll get to that more here on Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan.
Sorry, I had to interrupt Wrestling Wednesday for a little bit more of me personally giving gimmies.
Did you, though? It's Wrestling Wednesday. We need wrestling music.
Sorry, just, you know, I could see somebody coming into this. One of the divas. So don't you
bring me down. No.
No.
I could see it.
No.
No. Mm-mm. No.
No, this sounds like the end to a late 90s rom-com.
Yep.
That's all I hear.
Like that, as the credits are starting to roll.
The credits are rolling, and everybody's walking out.
Yeah, all right, well, screw me, right?
Hugh Grant was definitely in the movie.
Ooh, I think it's a little too upbeat. This is more like teen.
Okay, you want to go
Freddie
Prinze
Jr.? Zac Efron.
Okay. Here we go.
Freddie Prinze Jr. Okay.
Yeah, both of you guys hit that.
Okay.
Yeah. Hit that mark right there.
Maybe a heart net.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of hitting marks, Ray Lewis could be the next... What?
Master of the segues.
What? I mean, was there something wrong with what I said?
Nope.
Okay. Ray Lewis, definitely never involved with anything that might disqualify him for leading men, might be the guy that replaces Todd Herman at FAU.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, Tom Herman out. One of the great drops of our time from Tom Herman in his press conference. I think he was at Houston at the time.
Yo, love you, dog. Love you, bro.
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
Love you, dog.
Love you, dog. Love you, bro. The man who brought the championship levels of urination into our lexicon, Tom Herman, he, since being fired at Florida Atlantic, now this is going to be a move that you see a lot of programs do, which is they're going to go to the former player, and they're going to try to make the splash, and they're going to try to replicate the Dion. And I got to tell you, Ray Lewis may be the guy who could do it as well.
I mean,
he's a master motivator.
He is, and he's a football savant.
And people will want to go and play for him, especially in South Florida.
Well, I was just going
to
say,
like with Snoop, he beat a murder rap too. Yeah. Why can't he go on to succeed here?
I mean, the
host in the Olympics
made $15 million doing it. No, the thing, the last part that you brought up there is the most poignant thing here. It's in South Florida,
mm-hmm.
where he's a legend.
Yeah, and you can wait for the shine to come off Mario Cristobal and take over the U. I think we will see this, and there's going to be it will be limited on the guys who can pull it off. I think, like, what Ed Reed was coach at Florida A&M for like a month.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie George at Tennessee State mm-hmm. also went down this road. We'll see former players kind of get into this and jump to the front of the line at what are seemingly lesser schools, right?
Stepping stone schools.
Yeah. But you have to have success, and then you can prove your chops and work your way up. It's a bold move in the world of college football, but I think right now with the climate of college sports, this is the time to do it because it is less collegiate than it's ever been before, right? And when you have the guys who went from the pros and into college or former players that had successful playing careers, when you get into the NFL, you get into this mentality of, I make more money than my coach, right? Like, some coaches that lose a locker room are the guys that their players are like, screw this guy. I don't need him, right? And that's in all of professional sports, that's the hardest thing to kind of get over is that in college, the coaches always had the upper hand, right? In the NFL, in the NBA, in Major League Baseball, the coach doesn't.
Mm-mm.
And that's why they say, you know, it takes rings to, you know, win over a locker room, but you can't win a ring unless you win over a locker room.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get that. And that's the hardest balance to try and find.
And Ray has that.
Ray has more credibility and more money than any of these guys. Mm-hmm. And that's like one of the things that Dion does a really good job with is like, dude, he understands better than any other person on the face of this earth about your brand and your mm-hmm. talent being better than everybody else's and letting everyone else know about it, yes. right? And so he knows that ego part of it. Ray Lewis knows that too. I think Ray Lewis may be like more equipped to do that than Dion because Ray Lewis was no ands, ifs, or buts about it. The alpha male leader of
one of the most insane locker rooms of all time.
One of the best defenses of all time, but one of the most successful runs of professional football. Like the mm-hmm. Ravens, they were always good with Ray Lewis.
Yeah.
Like they were always good.
Their offense didn't score a touchdown for 6 weeks and they didn't lose.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. That's pretty impressive. But there's so much other stuff that goes to the management side of it that, you know, I don't think Dion gets enough credit for being able to relate to boosters and get people to open up their pocketbooks because that is a tough thing to do.
Yep.
And obviously being at Colorado where that money is there and it's available and people were just waiting for a reason to mm-hmm. open them, that helps, obviously.
The other part of this, though, is
that Ray Lewis doesn't have that at FAU
he goes there.
And
no,
by the way, this report came out and everybody was quick to jump on. Look, they haven't had official contact, but, you know,
if Schefter's putting it out there,
there are people at FAU, and boy, Ray Lewis is probably interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
There will be conversation shortly.
And the thing about this that is interesting, typically great players don't make great coaches.
No.
It's not common.
Well, Magic Johnson might argue otherwise. Oh, wait.
No, I mean, just go down the list. There's not many anywhere.
Oftentimes, though, it's the guys who expect people to be able to do what they did.
Yes.
And you have to have an awareness. And I think, like, also, to Dion's credit, that man is such a narcissist that he doesn't believe anybody could ever do what he did.
No.
So, I mean, and look, justifiably, because nobody has done what Dion has been able to do. He's like, I don't expect you to do what I did because nobody can do what I did.
Yeah.
But a lot of professional athletes that fail in coaching is that expectation that if you just work as hard as I did, you're going to be as gifted. And that's just not the truth.
No, and that's why you have so many in the NFL and the NBA where it's guys that did not have the talent, but they have the brain.
Mm-hmm.
They had to rely on other stuff.
Reddick. He's doing a good job.
Steve Kerr.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just go up and down the board.
Phil Jackson, Pat Riley.
Doc. Again, good players, not great.
Yeah.
And the same is true even in the NFL. A lot of those guys, whether the head coaches or the coordinators, are guys that were good college players or guys that had a cup of coffee in the
outlier,
NFL.
Outlier, Larry Legend. Larry Bird.
Yeah.
He was a good coach, but how long did he stick there? He only stuck it 4 seasons?
Yeah. Well,
he became
the president.
Yeah.
Before he wanted to go move into the front office?
And he's built multiple iterations of the Pacers that have been very, 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 very good with very astute limitations.
I mean, Pat Riley also kind of the exception to that as well. He was a very good player.
He was very good. Not great, but very good. And again, as I said, there are some exceptions.
Ooh, Lenny Wilkins.
Jerry West.
A lot of the older,
like
Bill Russell. Player coach.
Like when you had to have a job in the offseason.
I mean, yeah.
When you were playing plumbers.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, I'm here to check your pipes.
Okay.
It's clear.
Coming up next, though, we'll keep it in the football world. It's Hall of Fame time, and there's a Hall of Fame ballot this year that, look, it gets pretty interesting for the modern era guys. The question everybody's asking is Eli Manning a first ballot Hall of Famer, which we'll get into. But there's some other guys on there that probably should be first ballot Hall of Famers that nobody's talking about. Well, we'll debate some of those coming up here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.